coming to you live from beautiful Norwalk, Connecticut. We've been off for a couple weeks. Hey, Neil, you got some feedback, my dude. Well, we've been off for a couple weeks. We had Neil flying solo a couple weeks ago. Last week we were off for the 4th of July. We are back live coming at you in studio with us today. We got a freelance writer here in Connecticut, Joe Ryan. Joe, how we doing?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
All right. We'll do some full disclosures here. Now, everybody knows I'm a Mets, Jets, and Nets fan. Neil, the Giants, Mets, and Knicks fan? You don't really watch basketball. What's your basketball team, Neil?
Globetrotters.
There you go. So before we get started, who do you root for?
I gotta go. I'm the Giants, Mets, and I'm more of a hockey fan, so I'll go with the Rangers.
Well, there you go. We don't do a lot of hockey talk. Tony D's more of a women's soccer fan. He's just trying to get a date with that Alex Morgan girl.
Don't blame him.
Yes, he's all about it. Once we make it big, that's your girl right there. That's Tony's heart. So we just want to keep full disclosure here. We got a lot to get to. We're gonna get to the steroid stuff a little bit later on. We're still getting his feedback here, so I don't know what we got to do about that. But we'll start with something fun here today to start out. We're going to start with the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game. Super excited about it. We talked last year. I don't know. I think Neil was on the show. We talked about the four major sports and who gets it right and which All-Star weekends are even entertaining to watch. And most of them aren't at all. But I think baseball gets it as right as a sport can get it, even though it's silly that it counts for everything. But that being said, there's a lot of, the 25-man roster for both teams have been announced. But we have the fan vote in the last five. The American League, it seems to be mostly setup guys. But in the National League, the story that everybody's talking about is Yasiel Puig. Now, I know what Neil thinks about it. Joe, do you think Yasiel Puig should be an All-Star?
Of course he should. Right now, he's the best player in baseball. I mean, it's not his fault they didn't bring him up in the early part of the year, but from what he's shown since he's been here, how can you deny him?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been saying. And in the two ways you look at what justifies being an All-Star, one is, you remember, it's for the fans. So he's got the star power. Everybody wants to see him. And even more importantly, if you want to go to the fact that, okay, this counts now, right? If you're Bruce Bochy and you need a bat off the bench in the eighth inning, name a player in the National League you'd rather have up than Yasiel Puig.
And even with the fact that, you can see baseball wall to wall if you want to get in the ESPN, it's on 24 hours a day. Most people only get to see him in highlights.
Yeah.
So to see him live and to see what he can actually do is something special, especially best against the best. You want the best there. Otherwise, it's not an All-Star game.
Exactly. And there's no doubt that he's the best. And this idea that a lot of the baseball purists are spouting out, and we talk about guys like Bob Costas all the time where I can't stand, but those guys, you can't give a guy 6 weeks of playing time and that's enough of a sample. Well, yeah, anybody that knows anything about baseball could look, and this guy's not somebody that came out of nowhere. They paid top dollar for him when he came out of Cuba. He was a top dollar international prospect. He didn't just come out of nowhere. He knew it was going
to
come.
Well, to put in perspective, too, is the fact that matter, okay, in those 6 weeks he's played, 24 games, 30 games?
Yeah.
You're going to put rookie pitchers in there I've only thrown 12 times.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Well, right. And, Don LaGreca from the Michael Kay Show brought up a good point, which I haven't heard anybody brought up. They start voting on these All-Star games in, the third week of April.
Mm-hmm.
So you're okay with voting on it 3 weeks into a season.
Right.
And that's okay. But then you get a guy who gives you six solid weeks of baseball,
right.
Some of the most amazing, exciting baseball you've ever seen, both in the field, with his glove, with his arm, with his bat, clutch hitting, speed. It's silly. Those people I'm glad you're with us. I was worried. I thought you were going to come take the other side.
No, All-Star games for the most part, like you said, All-Star games for the most part are a thing of the past. But, I mean, if you're going to have it, it should be about the future of baseball. It shouldn't just be about the guys that have been there for 10 years or the guys that are there just to fill out a contract, because their contracts that they get a bonus because of it. This kid right now is the hottest thing in baseball. Let's let him go.
Exactly. And then you get guys, obviously, throughout my lifetime, there's been old-timers that make the All-Star game out of, courtesy to them.
Yeah.
But even on top of that, I mean, tell me how Bryce Harper, they're making such a big deal. Bryce Harper is the youngest guy ever to play in two All-Star games. How is he a two-time All-Star? He's a 260 hitter.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't earned it. I'm sure he will have plenty of time. But how is he starting in the All-Star game right now? He's in 260.
What's the popularity contest? But then now you're getting into – that's who the fans voted in. That's who's going to be there. So you got to go with it.
Yeah.
But, at least they didn't make a real bad choices, like, you know, Pujols or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's when it gets really ridiculous. I mean, years ago when they had Willie Mays and he could barely get out to the outfield.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, they did. And you know, the highest vote getter was Chris Davis, who obviously deserved it. So the fans do tend to get it right.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, David Wright, you know, even with all the antics and, you know, make fun of like Boomer Carton and CougarLife.com and all that, but he rightly should be the starting third baseman. He overtook Pablo Sandoval, who had some injury issues, and David Wright's numbers are better across the board, and he got it. So the fans genuinely get it right. Now, Neil, are you with us, dude? We had some technical difficulties. You with us, my man?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm on mute.
What, do you have his phone on, too, in the background?
He's on mute. You got to unmute, my man.
I did it?
I don't know. You got him muted. I can see it. So we're going to unmute Neil in a second. I'm glad that you're with us on this, Joe, because we started talking about Puig before he even got called up. I mean, obviously, he had that unbelievable spring training at 500.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it was just a matter of time. You knew they had there's too many people in the outfield there, and you just needed an opportunity. So I hope he winds up winning. I mean, I got into an argument on Facebook with a guy who was a big fan of the show, Tommy Casuto, a friend of mine. I've known him my whole life. And we got into it, and he's anti-Yasiel Puig being an all-star. And he had a guy on there who agreed with him talking about Hunter Pence should be Hunter Pence got 260 with 13 home runs. You know who's got better numbers than that? Marlon Byrd.
Hunter Pence is a nice player. He's not an all-star. This is where it's all getting blurred, is who's an all-star, who's not an all-star, who's there. You know, Hunter Pence is just a solid outfielder. We really can't figure out anymore who the stars are because there's so much of the press. They're overblowing some of these players.
Yeah. I mean, if you were sitting there in a pickup Sandlot game with all the major leaguers, there is not a chance in the world any manager would say, I'd rather have Hunter Pence on my team than Yasiel Puig. That's a joke.
It is. And you know, the thing is, no one in his right mind would have an argument about it because Hunter Pence shouldn't come to your mind.
Exactly. When I said it, I'm like, is he having a sneaky, like, great season? I don't know about it. And then I looked it up. My man was hitting 262.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Marlon Byrd's got 15 jacks hitting 265. I put him ahead of Hunter Pence.
Easily. On a worse team. He's just with no protection around him.
And he didn't play every day until, like, you know, late April.
Yeah.
He was platooning. Wasn't even getting all the time. But, I'm glad you're with us on that. Now, the second big thing with the All-Star game is who's going to start on the mound for the National League. Now, I think this is a no-brainer for a lot of reasons. Not only is he on the top two or three in ERA, WHIP, strikeouts and everything, and I know his wins might be down a little bit, but with Wainwright out of the mix because he's pitching on Sunday, Matt Harvey's got to get the ball, right?
Especially at home. I mean, in any other year, it wouldn't even be a controversy.
Yeah.
The home guy would get it.
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't even talking about it. I don't know why it even came up in a discussion. It was out in L.A., you know, you give it to the Dodger. But at home, you got to go with Matt Harvey. Especially, you're trying to create fan interest and new stars in New York. And, I mean, Bud Selig can't step in there, but anybody with any brains is going to start Harvey.
Exactly. Now, what do you make of the Mets not starting him this weekend? I actually think, and I hate Terry Collins, and we could debate that because I know I'm in the minority there, but I do put some blame on that guy. But I think that's the right move. Just take a step back and have some common sense. You're going to have to cut some innings back at some point. He's on pace for 240.
I mean, Terry Collins, the thing about Terry Collins that always gets me is, here's a man that took a job knowing he was going to get fired once they got good, which kind of makes no sense. I mean, he's there as a caretaker until they bring in the team, supposedly it's going to be their next competitive team, and then they're going to bring in a big-time manager. So I've never gotten the Terry Collins hiring in the first place.
Well, I know. And the first article I wrote for the site was about him exactly, and it was called 80 Wins, because they had 79 wins before with all these injuries that they had, Reyes going down, Beltran, all those things, and everybody hated Jerry Manuel, and I didn't think he was a great manager. But I'm like, this guy, you're going to put this guy in, let's see what he's done. Now, we're getting on a tangent here, but not only do the Mets stink, you see regression in all their young players, Tejada, Ike Davis, Duda, all these guys. He's supposed to be this guy that lifts these people up.
Yeah, but Urkel wasn't going to take him anywhere either.
He'll cut you, though. Neil, are you with us yet, dude?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear him?
I don't know why you say it was on mute. I don't think you ever was.
Ah, I think you're on now.
Yeah, I am. I'm not muted anymore, so I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you coming through my computer. Is he coming up through there?
No, I muted because that is.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got you, Neil.
I think he was there the whole time.
You were there the whole time. I'm just gazing into your eyes on Google Hangout. Now, Neil, you heard Joe and I just really giving some great insight here. Now, what do you have to add that could possibly top what we've been talking about, my dude?
Well, the fact that the Mets are skipping Harvey in the rotation on Saturday, it's kind of got my stomach in knots right now, because the All-Star game ultimately doesn't really mean a lot to Mets, right? Because, you know, the playoffs are pretty much out of sight. You know, it's not a reality for them. But then again, if it is a reality, you know, somehow they pull something together, they pull some strings, and all of a sudden they're the Oakland A's of 2002 or whatnot. You know, I think maybe it is the right move. But, you know, I don't know that it's that important for Harvey to start the All-Star game. Like, yeah, it would mean a lot. And but, I mean, after that first pitch, you know, is it really something that you're going to ruin the momentum that they have right now? You know, they've won, what, five straight? And
so
they're only eight games below 500?
So I'll let you start your rebuttal.
Yeah.
I got a rebuttal to this.
Yeah, but I mean, this is going to be the Met highlight film of the year. It's going to be Matt Harvey and what he does in the All-Star game. Like you said, they're not going anywhere unless by some chance, miracle, Ike Davis turns his season around and a few other miracles happen. But you got to give them the few highlights they can get right now and muster, if not for nothing else, for fan interest.
And I'll go even a step further. When you look at what, like, the National did last year with Steven Strasburg, that's going to be something that's going to hang on to that guy. He's going to have in the back of his mind the rest of his career that they had a chance. Oh, heads up. They had a chance to have a run at a legitimate World Series chance, right? And they shut him down. And I think that if you deny Matt Harvey a chance to start in the All-Star game in your home ballpark, which is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, 99% of pitchers don't even get that opportunity. He has this one opportunity to do that. If you deny him that because you're worried about some, you know, game against the Pirates in mid-July in a season where you're 9 games under 500, I think that's something that'll burn this guy. I mean, he's already shown that he's tough making it through all the, you know, no decisions and all. I just think that, man, he deserves this. It is a big deal. Sometimes you have to take a step back and just get realistic with this. Like, yeah, this could be a something that makes – it's his coming out moment to the world. Everybody knows about him, but now he's on the center stage, on his own ballpark. It's a no-brainer he's got to start. What do you think about that, Neil?
I mean, you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm and your passion for this whole charade, but what I'm just trying to say to you is the All-Star game, ultimately, it's – you know, I think we place way too much emphasis on it. It's a show, but it's also, you know, if it's going to inhibit the Mets and this momentum and their streak that they're on, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I want to see him on uniform. I want to see him out there. Maybe, you know, throw him in. Why can't he come in the ninth and close out of bullpen or something like that? I feel like, you know, give him that extra 2 hours of rest.
Oh, fine. Well, wait till you're a dad someday. You're going to be one of those people. Your kid's going to live in a bubble, dude. Jesus. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Home Run Derby. I still like the Home Run Derby, but that's the type of event I want to go watch at a bar, because I can't stand listening to Chris Berman say back, 500, you know, 5,000 times over and over. Like, come up with something new. I actually thought today, as much as I don't like the guy, you know what they should have announced in the Home Run Derby is John Sterling. And not let him repeat anything.
Oh, no.
Imagine him doing something for Michael Dyer and Cargo. He'd give one, you can't repeat yourself there, buddy. Get Susan in the booth with him. I'd listen to that.
No, you can't. I couldn't take that. I'd be suicidal.
Wait, and so can you stand Chris Berman at this point?
You know, at this point, the Home Run Derby is outlived its interest. I mean, you don't have guys. When it first happened, even though it may have been the steroid era, seeing McGuire jack him out of Fenway Park that year, or seeing Junior, you know, down in Baltimore take it over and hit the factory was phenomenal. Now, I mean, even the guys they got in there, I don't look at as these power hitters that hit these mammoth shots.
Yeah, well, the last one that's really memorable was obviously the Hamilton one at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And it's a funny story. Coach Sean Ireland, who I'm sure you know, coach of the Norwalk Bears, he had a chance to go to that with my old co-host Osama, and he had just started dating his now wife, and he had some commitment to, like, go out with her grandmother or something, and he missed that. And we wound up watching it at his brother Kevin's house, And it was like one of the most memorable home run derbies, probably the most memorable home run derby of all time, where he jacks out like 20 in a row or whatever.
Oh,
and he missed it for his future wife's like grandmother's.
I thought he was going to hit the L train that night.
Yeah, that was insane. So you do have that possibility of that. Now, that being said, the list of players in this, especially on the National League side, don't tend to really excite you.
No, Michael Kadire, I don't think of as a home run hitter, really. And I mean, Cargo, yeah, but I mean, all of them are just normal home run hitters. They're not really devastating hitters. I find it hard to really think of myself even sitting down and watch it on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that'll be in the background. I'll be flicked between that and probably Dora the Explorer with my daughter. Now, Neil, what are your thoughts about the Home Run Derby?
I don't understand why Bryce Harper is in the lineup. I don't understand most of the picks. You know, I don't get, like, you know, I'm pretty much on board with you guys. It's maybe something that I need to skip. Maybe catch some Dancing with the Stars or something, because this is just it's not primetime television.
No.
Yeah.
And I never knew Kadire and Wright were so tight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that either. But then they throw out the stat that, oh, Mike Kadire's average home run is longer than anyone else, so that's why he picked them. And you're like, all right, he's in Colorado. Awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like you got a pretty big culture shock going from Colorado to Citi Field. You know,
it's
my brother
actually
is the biggest fan ever, maybe, and I can't stand them. But my brother loves them, and he had the idea, even when Ike was still in the minors, he was like, David Wright should call, just see if he can appoint him to the Home Run Derby, and maybe that'll get him started. I said, yeah, I think I'll get booed when they announce his name at Citi Field.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, he probably ruins his swing
even worse. Yeah, that hitch will go down to his ankles a little bit. So what were you going to say there, Neil?
I'm saying it's starting to become like the slam dunk contest. You know, all the guys that have catch a lot of the headlines and maybe are the bigger personalities in the sport or are known for what they do, that they're nowhere to be found. So you're stuck with these guys that are kind of just meh.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, these skill competitions really. I mean, in the other sports, even crazier with the hockey stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, I like I said, it holds no interest for me anymore.
Yeah, you know the only ones that were cool, and I don't think they do anymore. The NFL used to do those like kicking contests. You remember? I don't even know if it was really affiliated with the Pro Bowl or if it was just like some sort of with an advertiser or something. But I remember like David Akers and Adam Vinatieri, they'd have to try to kick field goals from like the sideline and like crazy angles like that. And then when we were kids, there was the quarterback challenge where they'd have to throw, you know, drop the ball in the garbage can from 60 yards and that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff's more entertaining than the passing contest that they have the point guards run in the NBA. You know what I mean? The only thing that's really exciting to me is the three-point contest, even though none of them shoot like, you know, but the old back in the day, those were exciting when you had Mark Price and Larry Bird and those guys. That was exciting stuff. And that's not something that you need to overhype. You just get good shooters and the intensity just creates by itself. It's just hard to sustain a home run derby because it's so long.
Yeah.
It's 4 hours of watching guys and hearing Chris Berman.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, we get it. So maybe I'll put a call into John Sterling, see if he's available, just for Joe here.
No.
You gotta throw Keith into the mix, too.
No.
What'd you say, Neil?
You got to throw Keith into the mix, too.
Oh, so have about a 12-pack of Michelobes. That's what he always talks about. He'll have his Michelobes there, and, yeah, he'll get into it.
Well, Keith will probably...
I'll bring some wine.
Keith would be honest with you. Go, oh, no, not him hitting again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's just as honest. He's like watching a guy. I love that guy.
Yeah, Sterling just drives me crazy. I don't see how even Yankee fans can listen to him.
Yeah, I know. And you listen to him on the radio. You have no idea what's going on in the game. Fly ball and in the seats. And you're like, what's going on here, John? Give us a clue.
I drove for a half hour on the highway one day for 32 minutes and never got a score.
Yeah. That's how it goes with him. All right, we got a couple callers lined up. We're going to go out to the boards, Tony. Call up line number two. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you're on hold with the Tri-State Sports Guys, you are on live. This is Mike, Neil, and Joe. Who do we got?
Hello?
Hello? Who's this? Is this my former co-host?
You brought up a very bad memory about 2 minutes ago. This is Sean Ireland.
Coach Sean Ireland.
Whenever I think of the Home Run Derby, it's one of the worst experiences of my whole life because I miss history because I went to a cocktail party with the youngest person there was 84 years old.
Get numbers?
Yeah. What's that?
Getting numbers?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple, but, you know, nothing to brag about. But just to comment one thing, Chris Berman is the worst. Like, it's not even close. And how much you want to bet, like, right now, he's writing things down, like, that ball's hit to Queens, that ball's hit to Stanford. You know, he's such a tool. Nothing is genuine. Everything is already – he sucks.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have all of his World's Fair jokes.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have them all. He's going to have Kevin James jokes. He's got them all lined up, and Shawnee, you're right.
Yeah.
The only way we could actually have fun is if no home runs are hit. And
yeah.
he's got to keep them all in his back.
I saw a pilot duck on the United flight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could just call it right now. Is that all you got, Sean? You got anything else? How the Bears doing?
Yeah, just the fact that you're sitting next to a legend right now. If you ever need a guy for trivia night down at O'Neill's, Mike, call the guy sitting next. You've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable.
Well, I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
I said the guy sitting next to you right now, Mr. Ryan, he's the best guy I've ever seen for bar trivia. You know how O'Neill's has those bar trivia nights?
Yeah?
It's unbelievable.
We got to get a team. We'll go down there on Tuesday night. We'll just dominate the sports trivia. All right. Well, maybe we'll try to stump Joe a little later on with some sports trivia after Shawnee put him on the spot.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. All right, guys. I just want to call and say, Mike, thanks for bringing up a terrible memory.
Hey, anytime, Shawnee. Keep listening to my dude. It's Coach Sean Ireland. Get back to the film room, Shawnee. Got a big season. You got to bounce back there to Norwalk Bears. All right, so I think we've kind of covered the All-Star game as best as we can. I think we want to see Harvey start other than Neil. Just wants to just have some ice on his arm until he's 35. But, you know, I'll be watching. I like the All-Star game. I know I'm in the minority. I'll watch the All-Star game. The Home Run Derby, I could take it or leave it. I like watching the All-Star game because it's the only sport where – at the end of the day, you get in that box, you're competing against the pitcher. You know, you're not running over, you know, you're not breaking up double plays, you're not running over the catcher, that type of stuff. When you're in the box and you're a pitcher, Pete Rose will do it. But if you're in a box, you're trying to get a hit. If you're a pitcher, you're trying to strike people out.
The thing you say about baseball, at least they don't, you know, amend the rules like no blitzing and, you know, all this other stuff that are done in other sports to create the illusion it's a competition.
Yeah, you're not saying you can't throw a breaking ball.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, at least they're out there really trying to do their stuff.
Yeah.
And it is the original All-Star game. So it does have the history. It does have the pageantry. It's just, you know, it's going to sound a little bit, you know, anybody who's doing what you do and what I do, we all have a little kind of resentment towards ESPN and how much power they have.
Yep.
But they do have too much power, and they've created – this monster where everything they do, they try and make it bigger every time out. And sometimes it's just leave it alone.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how basically stories are big only because ESPN tells them they're big. Or
right.
Tells us.
Right.
Because exactly. ESPN just tell us what's a big story. And that was my argument about the Spurs. The only reason people say the Spurs are a boring team is because ESPN tells us they're a boring team. They're an exciting team.
Yeah, they are.
How are they? Anybody that knows anything about basketball, that's an exciting team. What? They got athletes. They can play inside. They got a great point guard. They can shoot. But because ESPN tells us they're boring, everybody's like they're boring.
Right, exactly.
We're supposed to like the Heat or hate the Heat, but
they're spin doctors for sports.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the NBA, actually. And I know Neil's going to be breaking down some big-time NBA movings and shakings, Neil. Now, let's start, because we haven't talked in a couple weeks, my Brooklyn Nets. Now, I'm going to be very biased about it, so I want to give you the opportunity, Neil, to break down your thoughts on the trade where they acquired Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry. I'll let you and Joe kind of handle this one, because I know I'm going to be biased on that. Go ahead, Neil. What did you think of the trade right off the bat?
You know, from what we've discussed or from what I've said in past episodes, you know, I've noted that there's been a lack of fire, right? And then I'd always point to the Celtics or, you know, even to a certain degree the Heat because, you know, they bring a different kind of energy to the court. But, you know, this is what they needed. I feel like, you know, okay, KG's up there in age, so is Paul Pierce. They're not the same. They're not who they used to be. Definitely in the dawn of their career, but those players, adding those veteran players who can bring that kind of raw emotion to the team, I think it's only going to help them. And they didn't really lose a whole lot, hell of a lot, in my opinion. That, you know, it's a win-now mentality. I mean, with Kid, with implementing Kid, you know, they're making a push, and I think that they get a strong, strong argument for locking up that 3 seed.
The thing about it is, when anybody paid attention to the playoffs this year, you know, everybody knows that Miami is a prohibitive favorite and will be as long as, you know, LeBron is there. And the one thing that Indiana showed and Chicago showed, there's only one way to take on the Heat, and that's to be tougher than them. And that's what Garnett and that's what Pierce is going to bring to the Nets, a toughness that maybe they were missing. And I think that's why their acquisition, I'm a lot more positive about that than Bargnani coming in for the Knicks. I think, you know, he's just a better Novak, which really what took the Knicks out of the playoffs is the fact they have no tough guys.
Yeah, that's a good transition. See, you know, this is your first time on, but you got the segues down, Joe. He just segues right onto topic number two. That's why he's the guy. That's why he invited him in here. But I think you're right with the, you know, I don't think it was a bad trade because, again, they were able to get out from under that four-year contract they gave Novak, which was dumb. I mean, it became a non-factor in the playoffs. You got out of Marcus Camby, who I guess has got one more year, so he was expiring anyway. They gave up some picks, but, you know, late, you know, there was a couple second-rounders, which are just shots in the dark in the NBA. And then your hope is they're going to be a playoff team for the next few years, so a first-round pick is a mid-20 pick. He does give you a little bit more of a scoring threat than Novak. He's not strictly a three-point shooter. He's got a little bit of, you know, he's got a mid-range jump shot. He's got a decent little moves, but, you know, he doesn't rebound. He doesn't defend. He's a typical European big guy.
And if they weren't going to get J.R. Smith coming back, okay, I'm more positive on this. But the fact of the matter is, now you're going to have three guys out there looking for space and shots.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the third option. And really, I mean, I would rather see them give his time to Hardaway to break him in. You know, I just don't see – what the Knicks need is another big man to go with Chandler that can get up there on the boards and just be tough.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think about the possibility of them going out and signing if they could do it with their – I guess they got a mini mid-level exception, whatever that is, to get Meta World Peace now that he's been cut. I
mean,
I think
it's
a good fit.
I
yeah.
would take him. You know why? Because he does give that toughness they are missing.
Yeah. He'll go right into the crowd and show you
yeah, exactly.
where he came from.
And, I mean, he's – I mean, he is a little bit crazy. He is nuts. But the fact of the matter is, they need someone that will if they're getting their nose bloody, he's going to bloody somebody's nose.
Yeah. What do you think, Neil? I mean, would that be a fit maybe with what they could only probably make one more acquisition? Would Meta be the right guy?
The word on the street is that Meta might go to the Knicks.
Yep.
I think that, you know,
we're
having
Meta
and KG in the same clubhouse might be reason for war. You might not come back to the locker room after the halftime.
Yeah, no, sorry. We were talking about him going to the Knicks. Sorry, we might have lost you there. Yeah, no, we were saying you think he'd be a good fit with the Knicks.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's an attitude thing at this point. You know, if you're going to, like Joe said, if you're going to try and take on a Heat, you got to really stick it to him. And in the Heat's defense, not be a Heat defender, but they did re-sign Chris Anderson to another year, so I think that they are still going to have that you know, quasi-tough guy in the mix. But I think if you put him up against Meta's going to come out on top.
Yeah, I think that would be a good signing with what they could do now. I mean, you're going to look at the Knicks' rotation with where they stand now. It's going to be awkward. There's not going to be a five-man set that, you know, no matter what they do, they're probably going to have to start Amari in the four. And that which slips, you know, Carmelo back to the three. They've had 80-some-odd games together. They haven't shown that they could play together, right? I thought it was a no-brainer they had to go get J.R. Smith. I don't care what happened in the playoffs. I think they needed him, so I'm glad that they, you know, as a Knick hater, I thought it was a great move for them. You know what Tyson Chandler is. He's good. But then when you start looking at their bench, you got to hope Hardaway could step in and spell some minutes there.
Right,
but they need another a big in there.
Right now they're a West team playing in the East.
Yep, that's a good analogy there. Yeah,
I mean that's what they are. They play like a Western Conference team.
Yeah. Now, what do you make of Dwight Howard? You know, going over to Houston. Now, I was ridiculed on our Facebook page a year and a half ago when the whole trade was supposed to go down with the Nets and they were going to give up Brook Lopez, a slew of picks, at the time, Marshawn Brooks I thought was going to be good. And I'm like, I don't want them to give all this stuff up for this guy. He's not a winner. He's a crybaby, all these things. And everybody was like, you don't know anything about basketball. He's the best big. There's nobody like him, blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, he's going to Houston, and now all of a sudden people are throwing Houston as like they could be up there with Oklahoma City as a possible team to beat. Joe, what do you make of that signing? I mean, is that where you thought he was going to go, and do you think that makes Houston legitimate contender in the West?
Well, I think right now, you know, the thing is you're going to have a bigger discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots in the NBA because you have those teams that are just, like Philadelphia, they're bottoming out and just giving up their whole year this year in hopes of rebuilding starting next year and the year after in the draft. So it does make them a legitimate person at the table. Now, are they better than Oklahoma City? No. Are they going to be better than Clippers? I don't think so. But with Harden and with Dwight Howard, you do have two all-stars.
Yeah.
And in the right situation, in the right in the right pick or in the right playoff combination, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you get two stars like that that could, I mean, you know, the reason I worry about like a Dwight Howard being a team that could put being a guy that could put a team over the top. I mean, his foul shooting is so atrocious that it becomes laughable. And he's gotten every coach he's ever played for fired. I don't even know who the coach of the Rockets is. Do you know?
Not to that my head.
So I don't even know who he is, but I'm sure right now he's immediately thinking, God, I'm out of a job in a year and a half because this guy's going to boot me out too. He booted out, you know, Stan Van Gundy, who was a very good coach, and then he wound up leaving that team anyway. So, you know, I thought that the Lakers, when it became pretty evident he wasn't going to sign there, I thought the Lakers were going to say, okay, we're going to try to do a sign and trade with Golden State so they could at least get something back. And I thought with Golden State, with their shooters, that rebounder becomes that much more important. I thought he would have been a better fit out in Golden State. I was kind of surprised it didn't happen. He's all, you know, everybody's talking about the state tax out there, but I don't know. Neil, what do you think? I mean, do you think that Houston's the right fit?
I mean, that's what I said a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to stick to that decision just because, you know, I didn't really I'm not saying it's a great fit, but it's the best fit for him at this point. You know, I think he can do what he does, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, someone like a Kobe Bryant coming in and stealing the spotlight or coming down on him for comments. I mean, I was thinking about this today. It just seemed like everything that goes on with Dwight in L.A. becomes a storyline. And I don't think that's going to happen in Houston. I think, you know, the media is not as intense down there, and he can kind of be the ego that he is without bumping or struggling for spotlight time.
I don't think Mark Jackson would put up with his act too long in Golden
State. I guess you're probably right. Now Tony just said that it's Kevin McHale is the head coach. I thought he was a front office guy, but Tony's saying on their website he's listed as the head coach. I didn't know that. I thought he was in the front office over there. But, you know, if that's the case, maybe that's the kind of tough guy. I mean, he's not going to put up this crap either, Kevin McHale. Yeah, that's the case. So maybe that is the
case. But also the fact that he's a former big man.
He's
former player. I think that Dwight will respect that.
Yeah, I would hope so. But, you know, what I didn't like, and this is goes a little bit off of the trade itself, but to see the Lakers putting up billboards and having all their stars begging him to stay and all this, you know, there's a lot of two-team cities. You know, you talk about, like, the Knicks will never lose New York to Brooklyn. I don't care what anybody says. The Yankees, I know the 80s, the Mets had New York. It'll take a lot of winning for the Mets to ever come close to the Yankees at this point. You know, the Giants own New York over the Jets, and that'll be something that'll happen for the rest of my life. But, and you would have said the same thing. There's no way the Clippers could ever, out of all of the two, you know, the two-team cities, there's no way the Clippers could ever surpass it. But then you look at what the Clippers are doing, and you look at the Lakers, the most storied franchise in all of sports, second to maybe the Yankees, are now got to the point where they have to grovel and beg Dwight Howard, who didn't even do anything for them. I know he averaged 12 rebounds a game. It's great. He didn't do what they thought they were going to get out of him. They had to beg. They had to have their old stars call up. I mean, that's embarrassing, and that's like a swing of power that I don't think people are talking about. Joe, am I overplaying that?
Yeah, but the other thing is you got to understand they're trying to squeeze one more or two more years out of Kobe, and they know that – without Dwight Howard, they're going to, and they're losing to the Clippers already. So, yeah, desperate times calls for desperate measures. And the fact of the matter is they know Kobe, first of all, coming back from the Achilles injury, for a basketball player is very tricky.
Yeah.
He's going to, when's he coming back? February, maybe, they're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
You're losing how many games? 30 games without him?
Yeah.
Who's gonna, I mean, the Staples Center, Jack Nicholson, you might be able to get a seat next to him real cheap.
Yeah, that's right. We'll do a show from out there, Neil.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, because the Clippers might take over the Staples Center by the time Kobe comes back.
And would you even have thought that 2 years ago? That was even a possibility.
No. But, you know, the whole thing is how fast and fleeting basketball careers go by. I mean, Kobe, look at how fast his career's going by. I remember when he first came in the league. It seemed like only yesterday.
I remember when he was shooting air balls in the final or the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
now it's like, you know, he's 30, in the mid-30s. He just, like I said, just had a serious injury. And you don't know. Once you when you get injured like that in your mid-30s, you never know how you're going to come back.
Yeah, exactly. You look at Jeter now. I mean, you never know what happens. Now, Neil, what do you think? Is there any chance this Clippers could take over, and 5 years from now, they are, you know, the team in L.A.? Is that possible?
See, I don't know in today's modern sports landscape that you can make predictions about 5 years down the road. It's really a year-by-year kind of business. So I feel like if they can get these guys, and, you know, you look at the Heat. You know, I mean, the fact that they were able to keep those guys together for 2 years and hopefully for a third, you know, is LeBron going to stick around for after his option's up? You know, I mean, so I don't know that you get that kind of team these days in professional sports. I mean, you kind of hope for it, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in it.
Well, that's why I didn't have any problem, and I actually really like the Brooklyn Nets trade, because everybody's talking about, well, all you're going to get is 2 years max. And you're like, okay, it's two more years than they had. Now all of a sudden every move you made has to be a decade-long thing. Like, that's just not how sports works, and especially not how the NBA works. You know, with the salary cap the way it is, you can't keep cores together unless you have guys like they have in San Antonio that are willing to, you know, take a step back and lessen their role and this and that. Because you look at, like, OKC. I remember our first season of doing this show, we talked about the core in OKC, and we said, oh, my God, for the next 8 years, you're going to have Harden and Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and they're going to be unbelievable. And then within a year and a half, there's no way – not even within a year when we started the show – they couldn't afford him, and they had to get rid of him. They got nothing back for him. That's just the way of the world. So for the Nets to make this deal and give up some picks, I know that's, you know, everybody's all stressing out. It's like, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, not only that, but you're looking at all these contracts that are being handed out and the kind of the backlash from it. You know, you look at Pujols and Hamilton and these teams that are, like, kind of retroactively compensating these guys for past performance. You know, awarding them 10-year contracts when there's no way you're going to see them in a uniform in more than 5 years. I think the trend you're going to see moving forward are GMs and owners looking to piece together the puzzle year by year so that you make a trade for a guy that might be on the decline but is going to accept the league minimum because you know he's a situational player that's not going to get hurt and can come and give you a rebound in a clutch situation. It's borderline Moneyball type stuff. But it's really just being smarter about, you know, your business and handling your team and your roster in a way so that you're not mortgaging your future. You know, you're mortgaging your future with giving a huge contract and then by, you know, making these huge trades where you're giving up a lot of draft picks. But in my mind, I'm all for giving up draft picks to get that guy that you think can make a difference without paying a ton of money.
Exactly. What are you going to need another Josh Boone? I mean, what are the Nets going to get with a 22nd pick? You know.
Well, I also think, you know, that people have found out how expensive it is to maintain a dynasty now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when you talk about the Yankees talking about getting down below that threshold next year, with the cost of players and how that keeps skyrocketing, to keep a team together and to keep a dynasty together especially is so cost prohibitive that they'll take their shot, and then they'll take their 3 years down.
Yeah, you have to, because what you can make in that little thing, it's almost like the model that the Marlins have used.
Yeah.
You give your one shot, they got two World Series, and they tear it down.
Right.
And everybody laughs at them as a laughingstock. Well, you know what? They got two more titles in the last 25 years than the Mets do.
Exactly.
So, you know, Byron, we got a couple people waiting on hold patiently, so we're going to get out to them. We're going out to line three. Tony D, you pull up line three. We got line three. You're on with the Tri-State Sports Guys. This is Mike, Joe, and Neil. Who is this?
This is Matt.
Hey,
hey,
man.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What do you got?
Hey, a couple different points I want to say is first and foremost, if A-Rod gets suspended, right, and he comes back and he wears a Yankee uniform, Ever since I was a little boy, I have been a huge, huge Yankee fan. I have seen the majority of the games. I read every single book on the Yankees. I will never, ever watch the Yankees again if A-Rod gets suspended and he comes back and wears the uniform. And here's why. I think that the Yankees need to look at themselves in the mirror and realize that we made a haste decision in signing this guy in 2007. And I think, you know, obviously it was Hank's fault, but the Yankees have to accept some sort of accountability, just like the same way that they accepted it with Kiyagawa, and not just sit there and pay a guy because of the fact that they signed him. So it paralyzes the franchise if he comes back after that. That's my main thing. Another thing about the Yankees that I'm getting a little upset about is this little goodbye tour that Mariano Rivera is doing in every single market that he goes, his final game in the market. He does this like, I don't know, this press conference or this whatever. It's obnoxious. And the one thing that I love Mariano Rivera, and I'm very, very happy that he's been part of our franchise. The one thing I want to say, though, it's very important to point out, is that it was a position that was customized for him. In other words, relievers in the past, okay, they did three to four innings a game. Okay, he does one inning. So, yes, as far as that type of role, he is the best ever. But, you know, there's something to be said about all the other relievers that never really had the same opportunity that he did in going in there and shutting down somebody in one inning. So I guess I want to hear what your thoughts are on that.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Maddie, for the call. We'll let you go and we'll answer your question. Joe, I'll let you take it first, and I'll answer.
I agree with him. I think, first of all, that it is a little crazy. Yes, Mariano is a big part of the puzzle and why they were so great for so long. But there's plenty of times when he came in the bottom of the ninth and faced the seventh, eighth, and ninth hitters on Kansas City and got a save. So, I mean, yeah, some of this stuff is overblown. But he had – there's no taking away from what he gave them, especially in the playoff time. His victory tour, yeah, it's nuts. It's just like when the Mets gave Chipper, you know,
yeah, we debated that.
Who made – the Mets look foolish throughout his career. Oh, let's give you a send-up. That's not what you're supposed to do. Nice hand, see you later.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a little obnoxious in every city.
I agree with you there. The only thing I'll disagree with Matt on a little bit is I agree with you. The role of the closer has changed, but you can't hold that against him. It's like he's the best that's ever done what he does, A, and it's like you don't know if he could have done. I mean, he used to throw more than one inning earlier on in his career. So if he pitched in the 70s, you know, it's the same argument where people hold all these DHs and no DH can make the Hall of Fame. Now, the difference is if a guy like Jim Thome had played in the 1950s, he would have just been a bad first baseman that hit 500 home runs. And he'd be, you know what I mean? Edgar Martinez would have not DH'd. He would have found a place for him, and he would have been a Hall of Famer because he would have been a Hall of Fame, bat with a bad glove somewhere. So it's like you're holding it against them. It's not their fault that that's what the game is. It's not Mariano's fault that that's what he's asked to do. And there's no way to know whether he could do it or not do it.
No, I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, he's the best at what he does, but it's like everything. It's like you have to have a Yankeeography on everything they do, including, you know, the best guy selling hot dogs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's part of, and it's a Yankee fan of saying it, it's kind of getting a backlash this year. People are sick of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Glorified Yankee team that, yes, has been great, but there were great teams before. There are going to be great teams after it, and people are ready to move on. I think basically that's what it's come down to. People want to see the next edition.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, we do have another caller on hold we're going to get to right now. Line two, and I believe this is my former co-host, the great Big O. Oh, are you with us, my man?
What's going on?
No, he's not with us. Sounds like he's eating a grinder or something.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up, man? Hey. Oh, that was Neil eating a grinder.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm waiting for you guys to stop complaining about Mariano Rivera.
What do you got for us? I mean, look, I mean, you come on the show. You haven't been on the show in months. You call in. We got Joe Ryan in studio having a great time. And you come in and make fun of us. So, hey, we just do what the callers want to talk about. Maddie from Norwalk want to talk a little Moe. We give them what they want.
Yeah. Does he forget that Dennis Eckersley used to come in and throw four pitches and get saves?
Win that argument with O. O knows what's going on. So, now, we've been talking about a lot of stuff here, and I don't know if there's anything in particular in the professional sports world that you want to talk about.
I'm ready for whatever you want to talk about.
so in a minute. But, you know, you have gone on, and there's a lot of rumors as to why you left the show, and a lot of people blamed it on me. Like, I was a jerk to work with, and I had to defend myself. So maybe you can clear the air. I mean, really, you left because you started coaching, had a passion for coaching. You're coaching Junior Legion, and that's what you're into. So, I mean, has the Legion started yet, Legion season, or what?
Yeah, we're actually in a stretch run here. We played 27 games from June in the month of June and July, so we're basically playing every day, which is kind of why I had to take a step away. You know, I got a 2-year-old son, and I got a wife, and you know, I also have a job, so it's at some point you gotta pick and choose where you're gonna spend your time. And unfortunately, I had to become a loyal listener as opposed to a host, but I'm still available at all times. I gave you my Mike Piazza book review, which I haven't heard back from. Told you it was an awful book. But yeah, I've been coaching, and we have 8 games left. We just beat the mighty Norwalk. It was nice for the Greenwich Cannons to come in and beat Norwalk last night, 4-1 in a barn burner.
Well, I told you when you texted me, I had mixed emotions about that. Although I did find out that Gerald Anastasia is the coach there, so I said, okay, I'll be happy for you.
Gerald's a good.
He's a great guy. He's like busted his jaw.
He's a great guy. He is one of a kind. I'll say that. He's one of a kind.
That's right. So you guys are going to make the states. What the Junior Legion circuit? You got like a state playoff? How does that work?
Yeah, there's a state and a regional. So there's a states. Top 5 teams in the zone make the playoffs, and you know, we're in the toughest zone in the state. We have Stanford, who is the defending regional champion. Norwalk's always very tough. Trumbull and Greenwich is always, you know, we're always the top 4 or 5 teams in the zone. And then you go on to the states, and you have to win, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 games, depending on your seed. And then if you win that, you go on to the regionals, and the regionals is only 3 games. So really the state is the hardest thing because Connecticut does a really good job. They have a lot of Junior Legion teams, where a lot of other states, like where I'm from, New Jersey, there's very few teams that have Junior Legion teams.
We didn't have Junior Legion when I was playing, and I'm not that old. We didn't have that then. And you're going to have the opportunity,
you
though,
you just
to learn
celebrated a birthday.
Under
you're older than you
quite
think
possibly
you are.
The best baseball mind in all of Eastern America. And Joe will attest to it. The one, the only, legendary Micah Beatty. Now, Joe, what are your opinions about Micah Beatty's coaching ability?
Micah Beatty's good. I mean, Kevin Murray's very good, too. I mean, I know more about Kevin and his team in Stanford. And they've got 2 very good young pitchers who were both sophomores in high school this year.
Yeah.
One's Randy Polonia from Trinity Catholic and Kevin Stone from Fairfield Prep, who's beyond belief. Kevin Stone's going to pitch in the Ivy League.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's already got Wake Forest after him.
Yeah. You know, played at Wake Forest.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, played there. He got out. His infamous story. Why don't you tell the J.D. Drew story, y'all? I don't think the listeners have even heard the J.D. Drew story.
Well, I don't want to cost you any listeners because you guys, you know, the viewership is skyrocketing right now. But I did get J.D. Drew out, but that was many years ago. He did hit a ground ball to second base. It was hit very hard, but it's a 4-3 in the scorebook, so I'll take that.
You told me it was the hardest ground ball you've ever seen in your life.
It was the hardest. It honestly was the hardest ground ball. If my second baseman wasn't in front of it, it would have rolled all the way to the fence. There's no question about that. And that is not an exaggeration because it's not a compliment to my pitch. He just I got lucky and he hit it right at somebody. But I'll take
it. You know, I'll tell you, I was talking to my friend Rich Trimboli, Rich from Shelton now. He moved from Milford to Shelton. And he was talking about, you know, he's an assistant coach on that Stanford Legion team. And he said, ask Joe why all the Stanford high school teams are under 500, but when we get them on Legion, he's trying to take all his credit. But you just
wait,
threw
I'll
my
tell you why.
I'll tell you, Kevin and Rich do a fine job with them. And it was a down year for Stanford high school baseball this year. First time in 9 years I've been covering it that none of the teams made the states.
Yeah.
Which was kind of an embarrassment. Yeah.
Yeah, you only got to beat 500. And Norwalk High didn't make the states, right?
Yeah, it was a weird, it's been a weird year in the SEC. Baseball, lacrosse has chipped away some good athletes from baseball. Plus, you know, it's hard to put your finger on why it's been what's been.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Coach Tucci, the coach at Norwalk High. He was my coach at Norwalk High back when. And then in the 90s, Norwalk High was a dynasty in baseball. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a 25-1 team that lost to Carl Provano in the state finals. I think that was 93. We were, you know, won the FCACs my sophomore year. And, you know, they've been down. And I asked him why. He goes, look, the kids are great kids. It's not, you know, they're great to coach. He's like, but, you know, I can't find 3 guys in the school of 1,700 kids that can catch a fly ball. And I asked him if he thought it was lacrosse. He said some of that. He said, you know, some kids are going to play at other places, you know, whether it's Fairfield Prep. I mean, what do you think? How could a school that's got 1,700 kids not find three guys that can catch a fly ball?
You know, it's the hardest. Like you said, it's hard to put your fingers. I mean, I know Pete Tucci knows what he's doing when he is coaching. I know DJ Mulvaney at West Hill is a fine young coach. I know, you know, most of these coaches, Tracy Nichols has multiple state titles. It's just, you just don't see the quality of the athletes, the depth anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it's mostly the depth. I mean, you don't have a freshman team, a junior varsity team, and a varsity team in high school anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, what else do you got for us? You got anything from the pro sports world? We talked about Harvey. What are your opinion on him? I mean, should he be starting? And what do you think about his idea of him not pitching on Saturday to give him some rest for the All-Star game?
You know, I don't mind that I frankly, you know me, you call me a negative, pessimistic Met fan, but I don't mind that he's not pitching on Saturday, whenever it is he's scheduled to pitch, because I don't, you know, Mets aren't going anywhere. You know, the kid's got a chance to start in his home stadium. Everyone would love it. I don't like that they're using the excuse that he's got the blister. I think that if that's the reason, then that's fine. Or maybe they should just throw him, you know, four or five innings and say, you know what, we're going to keep his innings down so that way he's ready to start. So that way there's no controversy about what's going on, because then there's going to be people who say, well, if he's got a blister, why are you letting him start in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
I'll jump in here and I'll say this. It's going to come down to this. The Mets are going to be one game out from the wild card, and it's going to be because of that game.
I'll take that, too. If they're playing any kind of meaningful baseball in September, and you know what? The beauty of that is if that happens, then we know for sure that Terry Collins will get fired, because they'll bring that up, and that'll be good. That'll be the best thing that could happen, Neil.
The Mets have no shot of being one game. The Mets can't. They're under 500 at home. There's no shot that happens. None.
Yeah, well, I say, you know, maybe Citi Field gets shut down for a month or two for some unknown reason. They pull a New Orleans Saints from the 2005 season, and they just play all their games on the road.
Great.
Can it be done?
Possibility, I guess. Anything could happen. You know, I guess it could happen. I don't see that happen. I actually like the idea of that happening. Oh, thanks for joining us. We got to pay some bills and get to some ads. But keep listening, brother. Good luck. Keep us updated as to how the Junior Legion team's doing. And we'll go out there and win a state title, my man. All right. Well, Tony, let's get to some ads. We're going to be back in about 90 seconds. Listen up. These are going to be good. All right? Buy the book, okay?
Anyone out there? This is the Nathaniel County Sheriff's Office. Is anyone out there? We were surrounded by the dead. They were in rioters, what we were told. We have survivors here. Civilians, women, children. Is anyone out there?
Follow the story in the Ragnarok Rising Saga by D.A. Roberts. Available on Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, and BooksAndMillion.com. Visit RagnarokRising.Weebly.com.
Hey, hey, it's Shy Rosalind, and I'm inviting you to visit my new shop. Pond's Edge Designs by Rosalind Brunson. My motto is fun, funky, and affordable. Wearable art for men, women, and even home decor items. All handmade in the USA, every item one of a kind. Don't be shy, stop by. PondsEdgeDesigns.net.
Hamblor, the god of hamburgers, set out to create the ultimate burger with all the flavors of a steakhouse. 100% black Angus beef, crispy onion strings, A1 steak sauce, and crumbled blue cheese. It was glorious. The new Steakhouse $6 Burger from Carl's Jr.
Tastes like it's made by the god of hamburgers, and that's just the way it is.
I gotta tell you, we have made it. Now, we met a couple weeks ago, and it was great. But and we had Bond's Edge, I think that's what it's called, the website, which I checked out. It was like jewelry and some cool stuff. But Carl's Jr. is now a sponsor of the Chinese. I mean, Neil, you got to be beside yourself. I mean, you're a big burger guy. You're the big Baconator. You used to crush Baconators two at a time in here in the studio.
I used to take down burger? Quad Stackers, but I think the Steakhouse Burger is the way to go.
Hold on 1 second, Neil. Hold on, because I lost you there. I had to mute you before. I mean, you got to be super excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I just I don't know if I can look at a Quad Stacker the same way. I think I've been wooed. I think I've got to cheat on the Quad Stacker and the Baconator, and I got to go with the Steakhouse.
I mean, Joe, are you that impressed about our lineup of sponsors?
Yeah, well, I wasn't really paying attention.
But if we had Carl's Jr. in Norwalk, yeah. I bet you we'd all be stopping there. I'm very excited about that. Well,
definitely.
Check out our sponsors, and thank you again for our sponsors for making all this happen and paying the bills over here at the Perry Avenue studio and our Hoboken studio, our satellite office over there. We're going to get to – why don't we do some Due to You Serious. Neil, you got anything for us?
Let me take a look real quick.
Every week, Neil goes around the globe and gives us some stories that make you just say, dude, are you serious? And so Neil breaks it down. Neil's a stand-up comedian, if you didn't notice. I'm sure you didn't recognize the face. He's everywhere. He's probably going to be doing a half-hour bit on Comedy Central soon. So we're going to let you take over Due to You Serious, and Joe and I will react to whatever you're giving us, Neil.
All right, well, we'll kick it off with death. Why not?
Right, there you go. Way to hype up the show a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? We talked about a 6-ounce Carl's Jr. burger. We'll go right to death.
Well, you know, moderation is key. You have too many steakhouses and you end up 6 feet under, like this dude that we're about to talk about. Cleveland Browns fan, I got to give it up to Cleveland Browns fans, all of them, because
the fact
that they're able to stick to their teams through thick and thin is really impressive to me. But,
they lost their team and they still stuck with them.
Yeah,
the team that left.
Yeah, and they lost LeBron. I mean, Cleveland lost LeBron, and the fact that they act like they're not going to be happy if he comes back, it's funny to watch, and I can't imagine the torment. And, you know, the average life expectancy in Cleveland has got to be around, what, 40?
If they're lucky.
Yeah.
So this gentleman... he passed away on July 4th, which you can't pick a better day to pass away. At the age of 55, he was an accomplished musician. He loved playing the guitar. And he respectfully requests that 6 Cleveland Browns pallbearers are there so the Browns can let him down one last time.
That's pretty great. And it would be great if the Bears actually, you got Trent Richardson there and a couple guys, and they lowered him down. I would be, see, if the Browns organization got it and got the joke and how great their fan base is, they would do it. They would send 6 practice squads.
Yeah, they should have Kevin Mack, but he'd fumble it.
Yeah, Kevin Mack.
But, I mean, this is what sports marketing departments are for, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a rallying cry. This is something that you can build around and say, you know, we're going to let him down one last time and that's it, or something like that. Make up T-shirts, you know, really get the fan base involved and get them behind the Browns in a way that, you know, pumps a little new life into them. Maybe.
They're burying the past. They got to bury the past, dude.
Exactly, bury the past. I'm all for that. How about this 12-year-old Ohio State Buckeyes fan? He's got a cancerous brain tumor. He said he's going to beat it, so he named it Michigan.
That's awesome as well. It's even better than the first story. I saw that headline on MSN.com yesterday. So he named his cancer Michigan. That's fantastic. That's a rivalry.
I mean,
that's not a Nets-Knicks rivalry. We go, oh, yeah, you know, Jay-Z against Spike Lee, blah, blah, blah. That's a rivalry where they will kill you in that border there. And this guy named his cancer after him. That's awesome. That's a great kid.
I work with a kid who went to Michigan, and I forwarded him the link, the article, and he just shook his head.
He can't even root for a 12-year-old sick kid.
Can't even pull for a kid trying to beat cancer. He's like a typical buck guy getting cancer.
Yeah, exactly. Horrible people.
Do you want to save Brazil for later, or do you want to talk about it now? Because, I mean, that is like a prototypical dude, are you serious?
Yeah, just do it now. We got to get it over with. I got to get this story over with so I can get out of my brain.
I mean, everyone's probably seen it by now, but a soccer referee in Brazil got into an altercation with a player on the field, ended up stabbing the guy and killing him, and then the fans, he would die later on in the hospital, but the fans come on, and they filled out the most medieval punishment I've seen in a long time. I mean, I saw it on Game of Thrones. This is some Game of Thrones type stuff. They apparently, the friends of the player and the fans came on the field. I don't know if they killed him first or whatnot, but they quartered him, which,
yeah.
Does everyone even know what quartered is?
Yeah, I took his
doing horses, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they took his arms and his legs off and his head.
And they decapitated him, and they put his head on a pike and stuck in the middle of the field. I mean, Brazil, like, can we all just take a step back and maybe pop a little Xanax down there? Like, what's going on?
And this is the place, this is the home of the next World Cup.
You know what the worst thing is? The Philadelphia Eagle fans are going, see, we're not that bad.
Yeah, right. All we did was throw some snowball batteries at people.
At Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's all. And they're like, look, and people are killing on Philly. I mean, these people are crazy.
I mean, it's what's nuts is it happened a while ago. It happened on June 30th, and it was the player was 30 years old. The referee was 20 years old, which I don't get how that works.
I think it was like an amateur game or like a semi-pro game. I don't think it was. It's not like they were at like a big coliseum. I don't think.
You know, to me though, and this is soccer, and
mm-hmm.
what I don't get about soccer is.
Everything.
The players on the field are constantly diving.
Faking injuries.
And faking injuries and acting and overacting. And they come off as these weak, fragile people. Yet the fans and the hooligans that follow the sport are probably the most badass people on earth.
Yeah. Oh, they're insane. All over. You go to like England or any of those places over there, they're crazy, dude. Maybe that's why we don't get it here. You know, we think guys are tough because they throw snowballs.
Yeah.
That's our tough
Don't hit me.
Yeah, oh, goodness, that's right, yeah. I mean, I had season tickets up in the upper bowl at Giant Stadium for the Jets for 6 years, and those guys are tough. They would be laughed at in Brazil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And those are the toughest fans around.
Yeah. And to me, and I don't know if you heard this, but there was a singer or a rapper in Brazil who was killed on stage.
Yeah, and I didn't see the video, but I can't watch it. I'm not one of those type of dudes that could watch that stuff. I didn't know when I watched the Brazilian autopsy that what was going to happen. I didn't think they were going to show the guy they were putting his head back on. I didn't know that was going to happen. I don't watch those snuff film stuff. So, no, I did not watch the film of the guy getting killed, but yeah, he got killed on stage.
Anyway, we can book Justin Bieber at that venue.
Yeah, why don't we send him on a Brazilian tour? Great show. You got anything else for us, Neil?
Well, and this has been, I don't know why, this is more of a Dude, Are You Serious? I would not have included this in Dude, Are You Serious if it had not gotten and received so much attention over the past couple of days, and that's Colin Kaepernick wearing a frickin' Dolphins hat.
Oh,
can we just get over it?
Yeah, part of me hates it. Most of me hates this whole thing. I mean, how could you do that? I mean, the comparison that people make to LeBron wearing a Yankee hat is crazy.
Yeah.
There's a different sport. We talked about Matt Harvey. I guess, he's a Red Sox. I mean, a Patriots fan because he grew up in Eastern Connecticut, and that's Patriots country. And people were all over him for that. And I'm like, that's fine. I'd rather have him be a real Patriots fan than a fake Jet fan, you know? But when you're talking about your own sport wearing another hat, Tony D went to Brian McMahon. Think about if you just really liked the Blue Wave hat. You just want to rock a Darien Blue Wave hat around. You get your ass kicked.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Joe, what do you think about this? Are we overblown? And I don't think, part of me is like, I don't want to be one of those crazy fans that's like overblowing it. But how are you wearing another team in your own league?
It is kind of stupid. The guy should have had more sense than do it, but... You know, also, we on the other end of it, could have just been in another hat, and he's at a friend's house, and he just wanted to put a hat on, and he put that on. And, so many things there are to worry about, and that's not high on my
I mean, I'm with you. That's why I'm saying part of me is like pissed, but part of me just takes a step back and like, whatever. I would get it. I mean, I don't know that he grew up with Dolphins fans. I think he grew up in like Michigan or Ohio or somewhere, like in the Midwest. So it's not like he grew – he could have been. I mean, there's Dolphins fan everywhere. Yeah. But if you're like a Dolphins fan, like say, you know – and Joe, I'm sure you're very familiar with my high school football career. I was this close to making the NFL. But – so I'm a big Jet fan. So say I wound up – you know, so I got jet gear all over the place. Say I wound up playing for the Eagles or something like that. But I had a bunch of Jet stuff and I happened to be wearing it. Would I get – you know, if I grew up that fan, does that make me a bad guy?
Well, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, back when Charlie Weiss was coaching Notre Dame and him and Brady had that – bet, you know, if Michigan beat Notre Dame, Weiss had to wear a Michigan hat and, you know, vice versa. So maybe he lost a bet with somebody.
Right. Jeff Fisher did it. Didn't Jeff Fisher have to wear something? He lost a bet. He had to wear another team's uniform or something?
The thing about today is, like, we see too much of these guys. It's the offseason. Talk to me when he's got a helmet on and he's playing.
Yeah, right. I mean, if there's the thing. The way I'm saying, I'm thinking the other side. If you're a 49ers fan, and that at all changes your opinion on this guy that looks like your savior for the next decade,
yeah,
then you're insane.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can understand,
and the fact
like,
that
what
it's
are you
not
doing?
A rival. I think the fact that it's not a rival is why I'm not as upset about it. Obviously, I'm not a 49ers fan, but you know, they keep making the analogy. What if Eli Manning was wearing a blah, blah, blah hat? It's like, well, if he's wearing a Cowboys or an Eagles hat, we got some serious issues. But if he's wearing a team's hat for the AFC, you know, the Colts hat for his brother, you know, I don't know that I'm getting that upset about it. I mean, I understand it. Part of me tried to put myself in that perspective. Like, you know, I'm a diehard Giants fan, and if I'm playing for, you know, it's almost like if I get drafted by the Eagles, am I going to try and pull an Eli and try and get it, like, organized and orchestrate a trade?
I guess you're right. I mean, if it's somebody else's problem, it's somebody else's problem, so I guess I really don't care about it. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right. But you couldn't be further apart than San Francisco, Miami, unless maybe Seattle. I mean, they're 3,500 miles apart. I mean, you know, they play in different conferences. You know, they play once every 4 years. Yeah, I mean, unless some crazy stroke. I mean, the way that the world works, they'll probably play in a Super Bowl this year. It'll be a Miami 49ers Super Bowl, and then it'll be all the ESPN will make a huge story out of that. And that's all we'll hear about for 2 weeks. And we're lucky. That's all we'll hear about. John Clayton breaking it down to different hat styles. Was it bent or was it flat-brimmed?
Yeah.
Stupid. All right, you got anything else, Neil?
Well, I'll finish with this. We posted on Facebook and Twitter earlier today the 911 call from former Mets pitcher Chris Benson calling 911 because his wife, Anna Benson, who used to be a stripper, pulled a one-woman army commando unit by busting into his house with a bulletproof vest and all kinds of artillery. And if I'm Chris, and I know what kind of mindset she has, there's like that split second where you're like, is this a role-playing fantasy or is this for real? Like, I'm about to get my life ended right now.
I mean, Anna Benson, anybody that's been around at all knows about Anna Benson, any Met fan and everything. I mean, it's shocking that you marry a girl you meet at a strip club and she turns out to be crazy. You know, I mean, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to see if I can play this for the fans at home. If you haven't heard it or you haven't played it, I mean, the fear in his voice is palpable. I mean, this is fear.
With the transfer addresses, what's going on?
Yes, are you there?
Yes, what's going on?
Yes, my soon-to-be ex-wife has gotten into my house, and she's brandishing a gun.
She has a gun?
Petrified.
Yes.
Where is she right now?
She's in the house, and I'm downstairs in the basement.
Wait, has she threatened you with that gun?
Yes.
Hold on for me one moment, okay?
This lady's horrible, too, by the way.
Yeah, she's the worst.
What does she look like?
She's got long hair. She's wearing black.
Is she white or black female?
White female.
How old is she?
30s.
Does she live there?
No.
What? Okay, what is she wearing?
She's wearing a bulletproof vest.
That's all I'm going to play. She's wearing a bulletproof vest.
Are you armed, sir?
I got my hand on the
doorknob.
Yeah, and he goes, I'm going to walk outside.
Yeah, he was like hiding in the bushes in the backyard of his neighbor's house.
He said he had to go get his. He said I had to go get my wallet. Like, he was actually, she asked for $30,000, and he goes, I got to go get my wallet.
Okay. Yeah, and she asked for a lighter.
Goes, okay, go ahead.
She asked for a lighter to light her cigarette, and so she just was like, okay, he's going to go get the lighter. I'm totally fine now.
Yeah, I'm good. He's going to get 30 grand and a lighter. I'm going to sit on the porch. And then she said she was only wearing the bulletproof vest because she's a model, and she was modeling it, and she had to get it to form fit to her body. And then she goes, I don't know why. She told the police, I don't know why you're making such a big deal of this. I'm just wearing a bulletproof vest with a loaded gun and a baton. Okay.
I mean, according to the police report, she was armed for war.
Yeah, dude.
Wow. There's wars in it.
Like,
yeah, I know, that's right.
I mean, it's 9 bullets in a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, and a baton. She beat
What neighborhood was this in?
Georgia. Georgia. Smyrna, Georgia.
Yeah, it's like a suburb of Atlanta.
Smyrna?
Yeah, right? Suburb of Atlanta, right?
If that's a war, that's not a tough suburb of Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been to Atlanta, and Atlanta's a tough town.
Yeah, Anna Benson would walk through where you went, and she'd get her ass kicked.
Yeah, I remember going around, and it's actually kind of good stuff. So you write a little bit for the Norwalk Hour.
Yeah.
You freelance. I got a bone to pick with the Norwalk Hour. I'm going to hatch out with you. Maybe you could talk to some of the higher-ups about this. So last fall, I was on Family Feud.
Right.
I was the captain of a team, Family Feud, the De Palma family.
Right.
Right? They send out a press release. I get a call from the Family Feud. They prep me. They're like, we sent out a press release to the Norwalk Hour. We go all your details. Here's what you can say, because I knew what the results were, but I couldn't talk about it. So here's what you could say. So you can't say all this stuff. We gave them your cell phone number. No call. Airs, probably the most exciting lightning round, and I'm not tuning home. In the history of this show, you couldn't get more exciting than this lightning round. No article in the Norwalk Hour. I mean, they got to spend too much time writing articles about parking meters and Vinny Mangiacopra. They don't have time to write something about a local guy going on a Family Feud. Wait, can you call some people and say, hey, what gives here?
Richard Dawson didn't try and kiss you.
No, it was Steve Harvey's the host now.
Oh, wow.
I got a very sweaty hug from Steve Harvey after the show. I hit the 200. We hit 200 right on the button, won 20 grand.
I'll get to the bottom of the scale.
Yeah, something must be up. Maybe we might have said something bad about the hour on the Tri-State Sports. What happened? We got to post that. Tony had the video up on YouTube. It got like 5,000 hits. It was an exciting moment. So I don't mean to change the subject, but that's my opinion on the Norwalk Hour.
Okay, well, we'll find out what happened with the game show controversy.
Yeah, the game show controversy.
Game show gate.
Of 2012. That's the real hard-hitting stuff we got to get through here. All right, Neil. That's a great Due to You series, Neil. You like that segment there? The Due to You is fun, right?
Yeah.
Now we got an even better one. This was from our very first show we started, the Tony D Say What. And he goes, it's not crazy stuff like Neil does, but just things around. And you have to come over here, Neil. Tony, I'm going to give you my seat here. And you and Joe can rap about. So he just goes with just the sports world that just makes you say what? So check this out.
John Rocker, your boy.
Oh, I heard
John
this
Rocker.
Earlier.
He says that he thinks people miss the steroid era.
People miss it?
Yeah, he says, honestly, and this may go against what some people think from an ethical standpoint, which is great coming from him.
Yeah.
I think it was a better game. Was there anything more entertaining than 1998? I don't care how each man got there. Was there anything more entertaining than 1998?
Who is still interviewing John Rocker? Last I heard, he was playing for the Long Island Ducks.
And as long as he's going to get there by the 7 train.
Yeah, exactly. Go to the 7 train now, my man.
Cleveland radio station that was on.
He's just on a random Cleveland radio
station. Unbelievable.
He needs to shut
up. Yeah, he does. He needs to go away.
He says, watching Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire chase 61 home runs, that was mesmerizing.
This from a relief pitcher who got hit by him.
Yes. Yeah.
Bad interview there, John.
Yeah.
Good try.
All right.
Now, how about this? So, Jay-Z, you know, he's been stealing, stealing athletes left and right from all types of, you know, reputable
females, everything.
Agents. So now he's now wooing, what's his name, Yasiel
Puig.
So
he's going to go. I'm sure he'll go.
Yeah, I mean, it says Jay-Z is wooing Los Angeles Dodgers star Yasiel Puig, hoping that the 22-year-old will try to add him to the growing stable of athletes he represents.
I'll tell you what, the guy's a good businessman.
That's a lot.
He's a good, I mean, he'll make money for people.
Okay, he's a great businessman, perfect choice in a wife, does a lot of good things, but these new ads he has for his new album... Please, take them off.
I'm I don't know what they are. It's just him sitting there.
Yeah, him sitting there. I hope I'm going to be a good father. I really don't care.
The first time I saw it during the NBA Finals, I'm like, well, I don't even know what that is. He just spent like $10 million to just sit there and talk about himself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's probably smart. It's probably going to work out great for him.
Yeah.
But
that's why
please,
he's a smarter man than me, Joe. I don't know, man. I don't know what he's doing, but
he single-handedly changed the way they count albums now.
Did
that,
he?
Right?
No, I did not know that.
So he sold – so he has a deal. The big thing was he had a deal with Samsung. He sold a million copies of his albums to Samsung for $5 a piece before he even came out. So his album was already, like, certified platinum or diamond or whatever the hell it is. You know,
yeah,
or,
yeah.
Before it even was released. Originally, the music industry didn't count, they don't count those.
Oh, yeah?
Ahead of time. So it has to be, you know, bought in the store when it comes out.
Oh, that's bogus.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So what they did after he made a big, put a couple tweets out a week later. They're like, you know what? We're going to change this. And
whatever you need, bud.
Yeah, those million albums, they count now. So instead of you selling, you know, 400,000 copies in the first week, you now sold 1.4.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a genius.
Yep, and he will get Yasiel Puig, without a doubt. We don't have to report that.
Yeah.
We're reporting it right now. You heard it here first. Yeah. Yasiel Puig just signed with Hove.
Definitely. And what I got here is Andrew Bynum to the Cavs.
He signed?
That's what they say. That's on Barstool. Yeah, you know, those guys are a little...
anybody asking if he's going to play, though?
Look at his hair.
Yeah, look at what...
I know. Who knows if he'll ever play?
I'll
tell you what. The Cavs, they got some players there, man. I mean, they're not that far away for being like a 7-8 seed, you know, making that leap. You know, they got some players there.
One thing for all you kids out there who want to be athletes, just be tall.
That's right.
Seriously.
Don't be good, just be tall.
Yep.
You'll always have a job.
There's something, a stat, like 18% of people that are 7 feet tall in like the Western world play professional basketball somewhere. It's something insane. Like one out of five. Like, all you have to do is be tall,
right,
and they'll find a role for you. Although there was a kid, I don't know if Neil remembers, there was a kid that went to Johns Hopkins. This is where Neil and I went and played baseball, and there was a kid on the basketball team there who was 6'11", and he averaged like a point and a half at the D3 level. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
How are you 6'11" playing D3 basketball? He's the nicest kid in the world. He's in my dorm. Nicest kid. I remember seeing him. I'm like, this is legit. Hopkins is legit. We got like a 7-footer here. And that dude couldn't get burned if there was a bus accident.
Terrible. Well, how about your boy Craig Garten? Says Derek Jeter makes his return this Friday.
See, I heard that he's coming back before the All-Star. It doesn't make any sense for him to come back before the All-Star break, in my opinion. Why would you do that? Well, I mean, that would be something that the Yankees would never do in the past. Now they got to rush him back to play a weekend series before a break?
Well, yeah. No, but I was saying to a friend of mine last week, when they were celebrating beating the Twins, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You come down to celebrating beating the Twins?
Yeah, and these are the same Yankee fans that made fun of us when we were excited about the sweep.
Oh, exactly.
The Oregon sweep. Oh, that's your World Series. And now you're excited about beating the Twins.
Yeah, and then what happened to you with Kansas City? Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. That's right. Billy Butler. Big fly.
So how about Denver Broncos? Did you hear this about their two executives?
No, but look, that guy's an executive?
Yeah.
It's like an enforcer. Who's this guy?
Two of them got arrested.
He's got a diesel butt chin and eyebrows that started his nose.
Yeah. Two of them got arrested. And as of today, I don't think anything is. First of all, they put the first guy. They didn't say anything about it for like 2 months. Second guy got arrested for DUI. Then they, you know, let both of them out.
Oh, by
the way, this guy 2 months ago also got caught. The big thing here is 8 hours after the second guy got caught, he was still blowing like a 0.12 something.
No.
7 hours after. So what happened?
That's legit.
Rocky Mountain Air, dude.
Slow metabolism.
Yeah, that's right. That doesn't look like this guy's got slow metabolism.
Now, what do you think the league should do about coaches as opposed to players?
They got
to
do the same thing. Don't be hypocrites about it. Now, these are coaches, or are they front office guys?
One's a coach, one's a front office guy.
They got to be the same thing. I don't know if they have the power to do anything over front office guys. I'm sure that they probably, as a league, maybe they do. They do?
Yeah, I would think they do.
They probably do. Yeah, I guess they probably do. They're still technically employees of the NFL. Yeah, they have to have the same type penalty. Probably even should be even worse.
So
it's like a teacher doing something.
But then the worst thing is, okay, you do it to the assistant coach. What about the head coach? What about Bill Belichick? What about somebody like that?
Yeah, Tony La Russa passed out.
Exactly. I mean, that's where you're going to get that shade of gray, and they're going to give him the pass because you're not going to fire a head coach.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to run into trouble.
Yeah.
You got one guy who was the director of player personnel, Matt Russell, blew a 0.246.
That's close to coma, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 0.3 is like death.
So then you have
done that.
Tom Heckert, who blew a 0.162 7 hours after he was arrested.
You know what would be the best part? It was a guy from the player personnel. If the bottom of the paragraph said, but still made it to the symposium on player conduct for the rookies.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I'm sure he's handing up, you know, team books and everything, talking about how they wanted you to treat.
Yeah.
I mean, my, oh.
Unbelievable. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Well, that's a great, that's day one for you. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And we got about 10 minutes left, which is perfect, Neil, because we got the 5 and 10, the fastest 10 minutes in all of sports here. So we're going to get right to you. You guys stole a couple of my 5 and 10s, so I'm going to have to go some on the fly here, which I'm not that happy about. But we'll start. We'll start with the steroid stuff, I guess. We were going to have a guest on, but he actually got hurt. We had a post that we put up there yesterday about a personal trainer who's going to call in. He's going to call in next week and talk a little bit about it. We talked about, you know, steroids and about how, you know, these guys sort of are overly critiqued for taking steroids. It's not like they're taking the easy way out. They still have to work their ass off in the gym, but they take the easy way out. But that's a different – we'll talk about that next week. The big story is soon after the All-Star break, all the reporters, ESPN is who's reporting outside the lines, that there are going to be suspensions coming down very soon with 20-plus players. Now, I still don't see how they're going to have enough – evidence without a positive drug test to suspend somebody. I don't know the collective bargain agreement well enough to, you know, just break it down like that, but how could they possibly suspend people without positive tests when you're talking about tens of millions of dollars?
Well, first of all, it's not a legal court. It basically is the league rules. Secondly, if I have to believe that with this version of the players' union, they've already gone to them and they said they won't defend them. In the past, it was Donald Fehr and Gene Orza. I don't think it would get this far.
Yeah.
But this players' union seems to think would rather play ball with the league rather than fight them.
Yeah, I don't know. Neil, what do you think? I mean, are we going to really see suspensions here? I think they might come down, but are these guys actually going to get suspended in 2013? They're going to hold up.
I think you seriously altered the season and you make a big-time statement if you're in Major League Baseball, and that's been their M.O. from the beginning. I mean, they want to wipe that whole era clean, and I think there's no way to send that message bigger and bolder and better than doing it this season and totally ruining seasons. I mean, not so much for certain teams, but for others. So, I mean, 100 games, you're talking about the last half of this season and then the first half of the next season. I mean, I'm for it. I think you got to make a stance. But at the same time, there's a bit by Daniel Tosh, who's a comedian, Tosh.0. He talks about, like, you know, I want my sports, like my video games, like I want them to be doing superhuman type stuff. So in a way, you know, you kind of don't want to get too human out there, and maybe it adds a little kick to the game.
Well, here's what I have to say. I mean, the guys that they're talking about, I mean, obviously the big names, Braun and A-Rod, but when you talk about real playoff implications, the guy on the list that will have the biggest impact on the season itself is Nelson Cruz. I mean, Nelson Cruz having a great season. If he goes out for 100 games, I mean, that changes the complexion of the AL West, right? I mean, A-Rod coming back, the Yankees have played without him, and nobody knew what they were getting. Ryan Braun, the Brewers stink.
Right.
Bartolo Colon, he's 11-3. The guy's not going to win 20 games anyway. So if he gets suspended again, they were on borrowed time with him. He was playing over his head anyway. But a guy like Nelson Cruz in the prime of his career, finally healthy, and he's a guy you would think probably was taking this stuff to stay healthy because he could never stay healthy.
It's hard to be sympathetic towards these players because Terry got their big contracts.
Yeah.
I understand the guy who sits there and goes, this is my one chance at the $100 million. But these guys keep doing it. I mean, I can't feel sorry for them if they do get punished.
Yeah, I know. Especially a guy like Ryan Braun or A-Rod.
It's like, you got your money already. What are you doing? But, yeah, Nelson Cruz would have the biggest impact unless there's somebody out there we haven't heard about yet.
Yeah, I don't know. They keep saying the 20 names. I haven't looked at all the 20 names. I think Yasmani Grandal is on there again. He's hurt anyway. He's out for the rest of the season. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Now, sticking with baseball, we'll go over to the New York Mets. You know, we keep talking about how this season's all about what's going to happen next season. We're looking towards 2014 and beyond, this and that. And you look at the pitching staff, and they're like, all right, we got Nice, we got Harvey, we got Wheeler. At what point do we start taking Jeremy Hefner seriously? I mean, this guy, for the last seven starts, has given up 2 runs or less. His velocity's up. He's throwing 92, 93 consistently in his fastball. I mean, is he a guy? I mean, everybody just thought if anybody was going to round out the rotation, it's going to be Dylan Gee was going to be their fifth starter, and that's fine. He has been awful. Is there a chance, Joe, that Jeremy Hefner is a guy who could be a back-end guy for the next 4 or 5 years?
There's always a chance. I mean, but they've got guys down on the farm they're more high on. I don't know. You know, this is his time. If he's going to show it, if he's going to win his position, this is the time to do it. But, you know, these guys, it's a very small sampling.
Yeah,
it's,
I guess
it is.
It's
hard for me to get excited.
Yeah, I mean, he started out awful, but it seemed like, Neil, I'll get your opinion on this, seemed like he really started to ramp up his game right when the Wheeler talk started. When you started, like, you know, end of May, when they started saying, okay, when is Wheeler coming up? Who's the odd man out of this rotation? Now, Neese wound up getting hurt, so it really nullified that whole argument. But they kept saying, is it going to be Markham? They owe him too much money. Are they going to get rid of him? He's got established track record. Is it going to be G? Is it going to be Hefner? And it seemed like once that happened, Hefner made a little couple tweaks, and now has been, you know, the number two pitcher on that staff deal. So, I mean, at what point do we say this is not a small enough sample size? I mean, a month and plus baseball, it's hard to fake your way through seven starts.
Yeah, and I kind of wrote him off towards the beginning of the season. And, you know, G has also come around as well. I mean, you remember the first month or so of the season, G was struggling to get through the fourth and fifth innings. And now we're looking at him throwing complete games, getting to the seventh inning and giving our bullpen a rest. And so, you know, I think Hefner, they were saying that over the last five games, he has the lowest ERA in the bigs.
Probably.
If not,
I don't
know,
the bigs.
So,
sounds like a stat you can just throw out there. Nobody's going to check it up.
Yeah, but I like.
Yeah,
you know,
no one fact checks anymore.
Just say it.
I'd like to see who was in the lineups he was facing. The thing I like about G is, and why I think G is more proven, is the fact that he's coming off surgery. I think he's finally gotten the strength back in his arm. It took a while. And I think that G finally turned a corner. Hefner, I'd have to see a full half a season of him doing it.
All right. Now, so one more with the Mets. We talked briefly about Marlon Byrd having a pretty surprising season. The question is, do they trade him? I'm sure somebody could use a bat like him at this point. I mean, Jerry Hairston just got traded. Scott Hairston just got traded to the Nationals. So there's a market out there for guys like that. But you're not going to get much for him. You're going to get a mid-level prospect at best. My opinion, I'm sure I'm in the minority here, I think you got to keep him. It keeps saying, he's taking at bats away from some young kid. But I also think that a guy, an established guy in there that's playing pretty well, takes some pressure off the established kids. And, you know, I mean, the kids that, you know, although he's taking at bats away from a new in heights or Lagares or wherever he's playing, I think you still need, you can't just run out there, you know, eight rookies. You got to have some established guys, and you're not going to get anything that's going to be of any value. So why not just keep them? I don't know. Neil, what do you think? And then we'll let Joe jump in.
Yeah, no, I thought about that, how, you know, he's off such a good start. I mean, he leads the team in home runs and RBIs, and maybe that he's that one chip that has value similar to R.A. Dickey that's up there in age. But at the same time, I don't know that, you know, I think this is kind of like I don't want to say a fluke, but I don't see him producing much beyond this. And so are there any teams out there that really need an aging outfielder who's kind of playing way but well above his head? You know, it's going to be tough convincing other teams that he's going to be this kind of player down the stretch when you look at his recent history. You know, I mean, he's just playing out of his mind right now. So, and, you know, but they have a problem in the outfield now because – you got Duda, who might be coming back soon, and, you know, it's going to get crowded real quick. But I can't see them sitting and benching that kind of production.
Well, what do you think, Joe? You know,
I think that I would hang on to him for a couple of reasons. First of all, as a young team gets better, it's important to have veteran leadership in the clubhouse for the transition period. The Yankees had it with guys like Chili Davis when they were turning their corner. And also, with the fact that now you're playing interleague ball throughout the year, you need guys that can be DHs. Even though if he can't play the outfield anymore, you need bats, veteran bats that can DH if you're a National League team.
Yeah.
And to have a guy that's experienced in both leagues and is cheap, and like you said, you're not going to get much back for him, I hang on to him.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. All right, we got 45 seconds. I've got a couple people on hold. We'll get a 30 seconds to whoever's on line 3. You're on with the Tri-State Sports Guys. Who's this?
Hey, This is Cowboy.
Cowboy! What's up, my
Cowboy.
Dude? You finally called in. What's going on?
Hey, real quick. Did you guys, by any chance, hear, you might have talked about this already, but I'm just going to bring it up, the Pittsburgh sports announcers, Badmouth and Dave Wright?
No, I did not. What did they say?
Oh, when you guys get a chance, look it up. They're all upset over in Pittsburgh Pirate Land because Pedro Alvarez didn't get picked by David Wright for the Home Run Derby. So when you guys get a chance, that's something you could put on your Facebook page or put up on the website. They rip into David Wright, and then during the game, Pedro Alvarez jacks the homer, and they go, "Hey, how about that one, David Wright, in your face?"
Oh,
they get a
you
little
know
personal
what? Pedro Alvarez,
and it's funny just to listen to because I guess the reason why they're upset behind the whole thing is that he picked Dyer, and he was like his hometown friend growing up, and he openly came out and said that's why they picked him. But when you guys get a chance, you just got to listen to it because they really took it personal that David Wright did not pick Pedro Alvarez. I mean, it was a good rant.
All right, we'll check it out. We'll post it to the site. Thanks, Cowboy. Keep listening, my buddy.
Always, buddy.
All right, well, we are in bonus time now, so we'll just give an extra 5 minutes here. We do have another caller, but I will tell you, Kevin Ireland, who's been a big friend of the show from the beginning. We've done some live shows from Don and O'Neill's. He's going to start writing a weekly segment on our site called Puck Talk. So people down, he says, every weekend I get the scoop on really what sports fans want to talk about. Because you get these drunk guys sit at the bar and talk my ear off about whatever they want to talk about. So you guys think you know, you got a handle on the pulse of the people and what they want to talk about? Well, I know for sure. So he's going to give us every Sunday night, hopefully starting this Sunday, he's going to write an article about what the most popular topics were down the pub that week. I think it would be great. So good for Cowboy. We love to have him. He's always been good to us. So giving that voice to speak his mind there on our site, Tri-State Sports Guys. We are Tri-State Sports Guys. You can always find us, tristatesportsguys.com, facebook.com/forward/ Tri-State Sports Guys, or at tristate_sports. We're going to get one more call in before we finish. We're going to go to line 4. You are on with the Tri-State Sports Guys. Who's this?
This is Bobo.
Bobo! Hey, Bobo, you are like an international superstar since the last time we talked. When you called in a couple weeks ago, you told us you were going in studio. You didn't tell us you were going to the compound and you were going to be at Anthony's house.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear when the party was going to be. He said I was going to be invited to the next one. I didn't know what day. After I called in, I had found out like a few days later.
Are you recovered? I mean, I saw some of the videos, Bobo. We got a little crazy over there. You okay now?
Yeah, well, I got one video because, of course, I didn't have my camera with me in my hands most of the time. Because I didn't remember the whole thing. I remember I said when I jumped into the pool drunk. So you say there's one little video I'm uploading that I call Drunk Bobo Cam.
Yeah, I got to check out. I got to see the Bobo Cam, Bobo. Well, I'll tell you, I was pumped. I was showing my wife. I said, this is the guy that calls into our show. You're like an international sensation, buddy.
Yep, I still haven't forgotten you guys. I'm doing fine.
I appreciate it. So are you going to the All-Star game, Bobo?
No, unfortunately, I don't got tickets. Not sure if Anthony's going to get tickets for me. Unfortunately, the situation with Colin didn't go well.
Yeah, what happened there? Colin Quinn was supposed to hook you up, and it never panned out.
No, he wasn't really able to.
Yeah, he doesn't carry the stick he used to. So what do you got for us? What do you got for in the Mets world right now?
Well, what I do got is that I am volunteering at the Fan Fest.
Oh,
and
nice.
Unfortunately, I can't pay to get Anthony to be there. Unfortunately, they got some other shows from that platform, SiriusXM, there that I'm shocked they and Opie and Anthony aren't doing a broadcast there.
Well, that's awesome. So you're going to get to go. That's going to be great, Bobo.
Yep, that's going to be good. The hours I'm not working, I get it for free.
Yeah, you know what? When we get off the air, I'm going to send you a Tri-State Sports Guy shirt. You can wear that. We got a couple of nice gear we can send you. You know, no pressure. You can wear wherever you want, buddy. But you've been a good fan to us. Well, I want to give something back to you, buddy.
Yeah, definitely. Send some stuff my way. I also have this I also have to say I was pleased that that David Bright and Matt Harvey got in. And I have to, you know, that I think it's kind of ridiculous that they decided to not skip the start with Matt Harvey just because of an exhibition game.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. So you're not happy that they're sitting him for an exhibition game?
Yeah, just so you can get a third exhibition keeper, right? That's a valuable win.
Yeah, we debated that pretty heavy, and Neil took your opinion, Neil. Why don't you chime in on this, Neil? Because we have Joe Ryan in here, who's a writer locally here in Connecticut, and he and I both agreed that we were fine with it, but Neil was coming at us saying that we were wrong. So, Neil, you're with Team Bubba. What do you got, Neil?
I'm on board with the Bobo Express. I think every game counts. You need every at-bat, every pitch, every win. So this is, like, crucial for them. And to have them sit him so that, his blister can reopen on that first pitch come Tuesday, I don't know. I can't be down with that.
So what do you think, Bobo? You agree with Neil? You think that a random game against the Pirates makes that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things? I think he needs to get his rest. He needs to rest up and represent us, at Citi Field in the All-Star game.
Well, I guess I could argue a case for both. But I think maybe a game that actually counts might be a bit better, more help than being around for.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe maybe you and Neil are on the right side of history here, and me and Joe don't know what we're talking about. I don't know. But, Bobo, have fun. Direct message me a place I could send you some stuff. We'll get you some Tri-State Sports Guy stuff as a thank you for being such a loyal listener. I really appreciate it. And have fun at the Fan Fest, buddy.
All right. I forgot your Twitter name, your Twitter account, the Twitter
account. It's just it's at Michael_DePalma, Bobo. I'm following you, so you can find it. Just follow me, and I'll send it over to you. All right, pal?
All right. No problem. I'm also trying to do a bit at By City Field, by McFadden. It's called Occupy City Field. To try to see if an O&A fan will hand the All-Star tickets.
There you go. Well, good luck with that, too, buddy. There's Bobo of Opie and Anthony fame. And I'm going to see. The video that I saw of it, he had a rough time over there at Anthony's house. But that is the end of our show. Thanks again to Joe. You are always welcome. Whenever you want to come in.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of good insight. Neil, holding down the Hoboken studio. Thank you, my man. We had a little technical difficulties early on, but next week we're going to have it under control. Tony D holding down the fort as the producer. We'll see you next week with the Tri-State Sports Guys.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
All right.